In the name of Jesus, amen. When you have an organization that gives or receives money, you have to have someone who keeps track of it. Treasurer, somebody like that. And unfortunately, nonprofit organizations are not spared unscrupulous people who will sometimes help themselves to that money. If you were told that one of the disciples of Jesus would get caught with his finger in the till, taking money that didn't belong to him, you would finger Matthew. It's got to be Matthew. Matthew would be the one who would take money. Because remember, Matthew had been a tax collector. At one time, he had made his living by extorting money out of his fellow Jewish citizens and handing it over to the Romans. He was a cheat who was not to be trusted. He knew it. Everyone knew it. The reputation of a tax collector was lower than that of a prostitute. The only people that would associate with tax collectors were other tax collectors. The Jews detested them, and the Romans thought they were sleazebags. Yes, if any of the disciples could be accused of stealing money, Matthew would be the first thing you would think of, first person you would identify. And so Matthew was not the treasurer of the disciples. When you pick someone to be the treasurer, you want somebody who's honest. You want somebody who's trustworthy. You choose a treasurer on the basis of their ability to work with numbers, but also because you believe they'll be transparent, they'll do things the right way. Judas was chosen to be the treasurer for the disciples. And no doubt he was chosen because he was reliable and trustworthy and he was honest. No one ever suspected that Judas would betray Jesus. No one. None of his fellow disciples thought he would be the one. He was maybe the most trustworthy one among them all. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew all along. The Word of God tells us, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. We can look at the outside of people and we judge them that way and we judge by their behaviors and their actions, but Jesus looks at the heart and he knew who would betray him. There's nothing hidden from Jesus. Before Jesus, all things are laid bare. Here again, these words from Matthew's Gospel. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant. One of the other Gospels identifies those disciples primarily as being Judas. When the other disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. 30 pieces of silver sounds like a lot to us, but it was the price of a servant. If your worker, if your servant got killed by your neighbor's ox, your neighbor had to pay you 30 pieces of silver. That's the amount Judas accepted as payment to betray Jesus. And in doing so, he values the life of Jesus as the value of a servant, value of a slave. 30 pieces of silver did not make Judas a rich man. It was simply a little bit more money in his pocket to do what he wanted to do. And he knew how to manage money. He was the treasurer, after all. What he didn't realize is that this fulfilled a prophecy that Zechariah had made some 500 years earlier. Zechariah had been commanded by God to watch some sheep that were doomed to slaughter. And his bosses were not reputable men. And so when the time of his work for them was over, he asked to be paid, if they were going to pay him. And they paid him 30 pieces of silver, an insult, the price of a servant. And it was intended to be an insult. And God commanded Zechariah to give the coins to the potter in the temple of the Lord. Judas even fulfilled that unknowingly when he took the money back and that money got thrown into the temple of the Lord. All of it fulfilling what had been written some 500 years earlier. None of this is an accident. All of this is going to go just as Jesus said it would go. No one suspected Judas. His reputation for honesty far surpassed Matthew's and maybe all the other disciples. But there's no hiding from Jesus. Sometimes you can fool other people. Sometimes you'll hear about what somebody has done and your comment will be, wow, he's the last person I would have ever have suspected to have done something like that. Workers can fool their bosses. Husbands can fool their wives and wives their husbands. Friends can fool friends. But Jesus always knows. He's never fooled. Jesus knows that Judas is going to value his life as the value of a servant. And Jesus lets it go. Because what does Jesus come to be? He comes to be a servant. Even identified as a servant by his betrayer. A servant who comes to do what we could never do. Serve his Heavenly Father perfectly and offering his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, your sins, my sins. Because our Heavenly Father wants to give us eternal life. And the price that has to be paid, is the death of the Son of God. Jesus the servant pays that price. A son who, even in his betrayal, is valued as nothing more than a servant. He's Lord, but a Lord who comes to serve you. That's how much he loves you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.